Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. It is Monday, September the 20th, 2021, and I am delighted to be with you, albeit from Greenville, South Carolina, in a hotel room. I'm back in South Carolina until tomorrow for more committee meetings, and I'm delighted to at least have the opportunity to be with you first thing this morning. I hope that everyone had a wonderful weekend and that your Lord's Day went well yesterday. Let me give you an update. Our church member that went through some medical difficulty yesterday, Carol, is actually doing better. Don't know exactly what was going on there, but the Lord intervened, and very soon she bounced back, and now she, I don't know if she ended up spending the night at Augusta Health last night or not, but nevertheless, thank you for your prayers, and we appreciate you tuning in. Those of you who were with us yesterday morning at 9 o'clock, ended up moving everybody to the fellowship hall, to Providence Hall there at the church, so that EMS could get in and out and that sort of thing. So I appreciate your understanding, and I appreciate everybody that is joining us today, whether you are here with us live or maybe you're here later on. As I switched on to the live, I realized how unforgiving these LED lights really are. I can see, you know, these bags, things. It's from too many trips to Greenville. I need to, what do they call the thing? Gua sha? Do you know what that is? Isabella and I joke about that all the time. We call it gua sha. But anyway, it's the thing that you use to press down on your face that apparently smooths out wrinkles. It probably doesn't work either. But nevertheless, these early mornings and traveling will do it to you. Anyway, I'm glad to be with you this morning, especially given the timeliness of where we find ourselves in our study on the Psalms. Last time we were together, we made it through Psalm 5, where David really addresses his enemies, and he addresses even more so the enemies of the Lord and the fact that the Lord sees what his enemies are doing, and that the Lord does not take pleasure in the wicked, and that, in fact, verse 5, the arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. You know, it's fascinating that that's what we covered yesterday. And where we come to today in the sixth psalm is a psalm of repentance. And it's repentance because David has been afflicted. Though it's not without cause by his enemies that he's been afflicted. Now, let me be clear. Exactly what affliction is David facing? We really don't know. There are those that say that this is physical affliction, that he might have become sick. There are others that are saying, no, this is calamity that he faces at the hands of others. But it really doesn't matter, because to David, as we will see, there is really only one source of his affliction. And it is the Almighty God. And the occasion for this is his own sin. So with that in mind, we'll dig into Psalm 6, and we'll see why this is so pertinent for you and me today. Let's go to the Lord. Our Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us, and we pray that you would help us to have an ear that would listen, that we would be real, that we would get real about what's going on, and that we would seek your face. Then we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so with Psalm 6, right at the beginning, we are actually given a preface that is included in God's Word. It says at the beginning, for the director of music, this is the preface given to the psalm. It's inspired. Now, this is not the same. In the past, we've talked about in study Bibles. You might see, I'm just flipping to something randomly here. I flipped over randomly to Matthew 15, just before verse 21. It says, the faith of the Canaanite woman. All right, now that's not inspired, okay? That was added as a biblical reading help by the publishers of this version of the Bible. Yours probably has something different, but very similar. However, when we come to Psalm 6, we're not dealing with the same thing, all right? That's one reason why when you fast forward, you see them in italics, right? That is meant to denote that that is a study help that is added. The actual note that we received before Psalm 6 is biblical. Then what we find out is that this is for the director of music with stringed instruments. All right, I should have made note of the fact that Psalm 5 is for flutes, but this is for stringed instruments according to the Sheminith. Now, what in the world? And then it says, of course, it's a Psalm of David. So David is the author that is attributed with this Psalm. But what does it mean, the Sheminith? Well, if you go down to the bottom of your Bible and it has study helps, they're not terribly helpful, because this one says title probably means, or probably a musical term, Sheol. All right. Now you say, well, what is Sheol? You know, that's not very helpful if it gives you one Hebrew word and then it points you to another Hebrew word. Really what this denotes, Sheol is both a directional place and an actual place. And there's disagreement over exactly what Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, actually means. Some say it means a depression, not in terms of emotional, but in terms of geography, right? A hollowed out deep place. And that sheds light on the musical term that's used here. Others say it has to do with hell. Others say it has to do with the Hebrew concept of Hades, this underworld kind of thing. Doesn't matter. What it really points to, and this is important for our reading, is this points in musical terms to the lowest octave. It refers to octave number 8. That means low. So as we read this, we should read it with a low voice. As we sing it, because remember, the Psalms are songs. This is the songbook of ancient Israel. This is not meant to be happy and upbeat. This is meant to be very low, almost painfully low. And the reason is because of what it says. In verse 1, David says, "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long?" You could use lots of different phrases to describe where David's at here, emotionally, spiritually, maybe physically. Again, don't know. We do not know if this is about physical affliction. I think it's a mistake. I think it's a mistake to say that this is only about physical affliction. Certainly, there is a spiritual component to this, and it may be that spiritual component that is the heavier of the two. Doesn't matter, though, because what we need to see here is, number one, David's recognition. And what does David recognize? David recognizes that his lowly circumstances are not arbitrary. He recognizes that his lowly circumstances are not the products of his enemies alone. Instead, David recognizes that his lowly circumstances are affliction from God himself. Now, when we read this in light of that, and when we remember something, remember, the Bible does not exaggerate. David does not exaggerate here. My bones are in agony. Again, that probably denotes physical suffering, but my soul is in anguish. You know, when the Hebrew talks about bones, sometimes literally it's talking about our physical state. But other times it talks about our bones being the very core of who we are. It's the roots of who we are. David has been rocked to his very central core here. And his soul is in so much anguish that he can only ask, "How long, O Lord? How long?" What does he mean by how long? In other words, how long is this agony going to continue? How long will my heartache endure? How long will this calamity besiege me? David's hurting here. And he recognizes from the very start that that hurt has come from the Lord. Now, why? Well, we don't exactly know. Again, maybe this has to do with, look, if you go through David's life, you see multiple mistakes on his part and very serious ones. I don't think it necessarily has to do with the whole Bathsheba narrative. Maybe it has to do with some of his poor choices as a king. We don't know. You know, there is a blanket statement that is made to David concerning his reign. that the Lord will not let him build the temple. You remember that? David was the one that gathered materials for the temple, but it wasn't his to build. It would be Solomon's to build. And the reasoning that the Lord gave him is that you have too much blood on your hands. And that is not just about what happened with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. Okay? David is a plagued man as a result of his decisions, and he knows that the Lord's hand is heavy upon him. That's why David does what he does in verse 4. Recognizing that the Lord has brought this affliction on him, he says in verse 4, "Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. No one remembers you when he is dead. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes." What's this business that David's talking about here about no one remembers you when he's dead? Who gives you praises from the grave? What David is pointing out here is that he recognizes that his life is in the Lord's hands, that it is the Lord's and the Lord's alone to either send him to the grave or to restore him. And what David is doing here is crying out for restoration. He recognizes his sin. And then with this recognition, what he's saying is, please restore me so that I might praise you, so that with my life, I can show forth my gratitude and lift up your holy name. What we see here in a word from David is repentance, where David recognizes his sin, where David stops his sinning, where David turns to the Lord seeking forgiveness, and then where David turns away from his sin and makes the commitment to go back to God. That's what repentance is. We get this messed up sometimes. Sometimes we think that repentance is just being sorry. But y'all, you can be sorry for a lot of things. I've learned this. There are many teachers in life, but marriage is certainly a teacher. And it's one of the best teachers because in marriage, you learn the difference between being sorry about something you've done and the consequences for it, and truly recognizing that you have offended, truly recognizing that you dropped the ball and that you need to turn around and go back. My friends, that's what David is doing here. As he faces this struggle, again, maybe it's purely physical, probably not. Maybe it is at the hand of his enemies. We tend to think that that's what's going on here, especially because of verse 8. "Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping." Now, we're going to get to that in a second. But again, he is talking about those that would seek to destroy him, those who would do evil against him. But nevertheless, it doesn't matter because David's source, as David looks at the affliction that he faces, ultimately he attributes it to the Lord. And he attributes it to the Lord, not recognizing that God is some monster, not saying, "Hey, what's the problem with me, God? I'm a pretty good guy." No. David knows that not only is he getting what's coming to him, he knows that he's still experiencing God's mercy. That's why he says in verse 8, "Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayers." And then all my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace. Again, I asked this last week. I asked, when you pray, how do you pray? Because you see here, David shows us what it means to pray expectantly. That David has recognized his sin and he's repented of it. He's turned to the Lord and asked for forgiveness, and he has believed the Lord. And he will proceed forward with here with the confidence, knowing that he is a forgiven man and that he is right with the Lord. Y'all, it cannot be stressed enough. Now, the psalm makes it look like this is an instantaneous thing. I don't know if it is. We know that David has written a song about repentance. Is his recognition of the Lord's forgiveness immediate? Maybe. We don't really know. We're not privy to that. But what we do know is this. When David repented and when David sought the Lord's forgiveness, he trusted in the character of God. And he proceeded as a forgiven man, doing what he said he would do. Now, you might say, well, that's all good and fine, but what does this have to do with us? One of my really good friends, one of my best friends, really, is a man named Jay Yontz. He's an author. He's done special services at Old Providence for us. But Jay is a very godly man, and he has helped me tremendously in my ministry and my personal life. But he and I talk, and when we talk, we talk and talk and talk. We don't talk as often as I would like, but nevertheless, when we talk a lot. And Jay and I were talking last week, and he made an excellent point. We were talking about COVID, and you know, COVID is just one example. But he said, we talk about COVID, we talk about things like vaccines and argue over those. We talk about the violation of personal liberty. We talk about what this thing is doing, why it's doing it, how to avoid it. And then he said, Patrick, when are we going to start talking about repentance? Hit me like a ton of bricks, you know. Jay's right. If we operate with David's understanding of the world, then we see that ultimately any affliction we face, individually or as a people group, it's not always God, you know, mashing us with his thumb. In fact, it's never God mashing us with his thumb, but being our loving Father with the understanding that the Lord ordains all things and then that the Lord allows things to come our way. Whenever we see things like this on a national scale, we ought to be asking the same kind of questions that David is asking. Again, we don't know what sin David is repenting of here. Not really. We can guess, but we don't know. And the reality is that David, when this affliction came, may not have known. The Lord showed it to him. You know, it's a haughty understanding that we know ourselves well enough and that we are cognizant enough of our sin that we recognize it all the time. The fact is, we're so good at sinning, sometimes we do it, we don't even recognize it. I'm not saying that sin isn't a conscious decision, but in reality, we are sinful people, y'all. But as it relates to this pandemic that we're facing, at what point do we stop as not only individuals, but as a nation and as a world and say, the Lord has afflicted us? And this has come to us. And I look, I know that there's different opinions on where it comes from. You know, not that I agree with the guy, but there's a comedian named Jon Stewart who's ultra, ultra liberal, and I disagree with him most of the time. But I agree with him on the thing where it's like, you know, before anybody knew what the coronavirus was, there was a lab in the city they say that this started in called the Coronavirus Research Lab. Maybe, just maybe, it came from there in Wuhan, China. You know, you're not supposed to say that because apparently it's racist or something. Whatever, whatever. It doesn't matter where it came from. What matters is that God is sovereign and that we're going through this for a reason. When do we as a nation rise up and repent? When do we as a world rise up and say, how long, O Lord? We recognize that we have offended you, the holy and living God. My friends, we may get better at dealing with this. The vaccines may be effective, or it may be herd immunity. I don't know. But I can tell you this much. If we can learn anything from David, it's that not only just as individuals, but as people groups, we need to turn back to the Lord. That needs to be part of the national conversation. It needs to be part of the international conversation. And if you say to yourself, well, like that's going to happen, most of the world doesn't even know Jesus. How are we going to have this conversation? Look at what's going on in the United States. Look at how people mock God. Well, you see, that's where you and I come in as well. Because we're the ones that have been given the responsibility, yes, but also the privilege to engage others, to tell them about Jesus Christ, so that the world would know. That puts a whole new twist on what we ought to be doing in light of what's going on in the world around us, I think. Repentance, you see, stopping, recognizing sin and turning back to the Lord, that's what we need. And when we do that, we can all be Davids here, and we can proceed forward, knowing that the Lord has heard our cry. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time that you have given to us, and we pray that you would work in our hearts Yes, as it relates to the international things going on, but so much more so. Just the daily things in our lives help us to get real about sin. And as David did, so help us to seek your face. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Until then, I hope you all have a wonderful Monday and a great start to your week. I see Alice and Christine and Marianne and Monica. Good morning. Yes, Alice, you're very welcome. Good to see you. And then there's Becky and Rose and Terry and Becky and other Becky. And then there's Helen. All right. Again, y'all have a great day.